All right. Hey, everyone. My name is Julian. I'm here with my good friend Nick. We are the co-hosts of this new show called Clear Cash. What is this show about? Well, it's precisely that. You're clearing your mental cash of, well, I guess the mental images, things that build up.
Clogging it up.
Yeah, the clog that you receive on a week-to-week basis, a month-to-month basis even. You see things, you experience things, your brain gets clogged. And what do you got to do? You got to clear that mental cache. That's what this is.
You're right. I'm a neuroscientist, and that's how the brain works.
That is exactly, yes. The brain is full of clogs, literal clogs. And to flush them out, you got to sit down and talk about what those clogs could possibly be. You know, some people write music, some people draw, maybe they paint. And that's how artists, you know, quote unquote, clear their mental cache, is they create something. For someone like me, lacking many talents, I like to talk at length about things that are happening inside my mind, whether or not people are listening, right? So this is a good way to do that.
I'm sometimes listening.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, more often than not, you just get voicemails from me in the middle of the night that maybe 30, 40 minutes long.
Very troubling.
There's a trembling and a trouble in my voice at night. But that, you know, that probably left private between me and you, those conversations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Right. So there's the intro. We are recording now. That's the motto of the show. We are recording now.
Let's revisit that as a theme throughout.
Yeah. Every now and then, maybe 10, 15 minutes, depending on how long these episodes are, we'll check back in, make sure that we are recording now.
Yeah, it would be a terrible shame if we dropped the motif that early on.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so today we are going to talk about a game called Tacoma, made by the same devs of Gone Home.
This Fulbright.
Fulbright, right. Right on. This game has been, what, out for maybe a week or so? Came out beginning of August,
yeah,
right?
I think it came out earlier this week or late last week.
Okay. So, you know, I got to tell you something real quick, and I'm a little bit embarrassed about it. So earlier this week, actually about maybe 2 weeks ago, I made a video about the upcoming games of August, and I popped it up on the channel. When looking at the games that were releasing in August, I made a mental acknowledgement of Tacoma. I looked at it and I said, okay, there's a game called Tacoma coming out. I don't know what this is or anything about it. And instead of looking it up, which I maybe should have, I completely just glazed over it and moved on to, you know, the Maddens of August, right? The Madden releases.
So many Maddens coming out, so I fully understand why you would have dismissed this in lieu of addressing, what is it, like 7 or 8 Madden games?
Yeah, there's an astounding number. It's shocking how many are coming out this month. It's like,
I don't understand where they get the staff.
I don't know either.
It's like they're employing a small nation to develop all of these Maddens.
It's really strange, and many have come out already. We're only in about a week and a half in August, and we've seen Maddens for sports that don't even exist.
It's maddening.
It's maddening. You heard it here first, baby.
All right, so you didn't know Tacoma. I understand. It's a small game.
It is a small game, but I didn't realize that. While it is a small game, potentially maybe only 3 hours long, this is a game that many people are attracted to in a lot of ways and have. And so far, it looks like this game's been critically acclaimed. Would you maybe agree with that?
Yeah, no, I would agree. And Fulbright developers have Gone Home sort of like brought the notion of the walking simulator and whatever baggage that may bring like into the spotlight. And so Tacoma as a follow-up to that, I think that attracts a lot of attention, like seeing if they're going to move forward with that style of game or, I really liked Gone Home and I like walking simulators. I don't find that term disparaging, really.
I've heard it used definitely in a disparaging way.
sure, it's wielded as a weapon, but that's a different conversation about like what a game has to be in order to qualify as a game. And I'm just gonna go ahead and fucking say that they're games.
Yeah. So we almost every game is a walking simulator. I mean, fucking Super Mario World's sort of a walking simulator. You walk left and right. Now you run sometimes. So maybe it's a walk run simulator. But I feel like Gone Home definitely came out in a time where maybe that phrase wasn't used as often or maybe at all. Like, since then, Gone Home was what, 2012, I think?
I think so.
And since then, we've had games like Firewatch, right? Was it called Firewatch? Which is also a game that saw a lot of people play on Twitch and it got very popular and is essentially, you know, that same kind of genre, walking simulator game where you're in an area exploring and learning about the story, the characters, and it's, depending on the game, I guess it's levels of how deep the story goes. But I guess the point is that these games are becoming more and more relevant and popular and kind of a new spin on like the old adventure games, right? Where you obviously have more control over your character.
I mean, you're essentially in at least with regards to Gone Home, you're in a static environment and you're exploring that environment in much the same way that you might explore a screen in a classic adventure game, like a LucasArts game.
Right.
I think that I really like it. I think it's a calming, quiet, interesting storytelling technique. And so I was really excited about Tacoma's release.
Sure. So full disclosure before we get into the game itself, I myself have only played about 25 minutes of it. And you have played a bit longer than me.
I played like an hour and a half, I think.
Okay. So neither of us have completed the game.
No.
But I feel like I did experience enough within that very short amount of time I played to have a discourse on it. And you have, in your hour and a half or so spending some time with it, have a lot of things happening in your head that you need to clear. Get it out of there.
Yeah, let's dump, baby. Let's dump it.
Dump this spaceship stuff.
All right, so several months ago, I went to New York. And on Manhattan, there is a interactive theater show called Sleep No More. Sleep No More is basically a like performative ballet retelling of, I believe, Macbeth, wordless. And it's the crux of the show. Is it takes place across five floors in an enormous warehouse that is intricately detailed and decorated to resemble like a turn of the century hotel.
Okay.
And various spaces within and around the hotel. And the performers are performing at all times on all of the floors, and you are loosed with the audience into the warehouse to explore at your leisure and go wherever you want to go at any time.
Right. Okay. So first off, my first comment on what you just said, Sleep No More,
yes.
Frightening name.
It's a very moody, dark,
bleak.
It is kind of bleak. Yeah. Show it, the show itself, like the name is apt.
Right. So it's you said it's like a loose retelling of Macbeth, so Shakespearean.
Yes. Okay. Modernized a bit. It's got like late 1800s aesthetic. Lots of like apothecary jars and stuff like that, and you know, velvet suit or not velvet suits, but like bespoke clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. Got a particular look.
Monocle? Did you see monocles?
Monocle would fit in.
Right.
Yeah, I did not see a monocle per se. But
okay. Well, can I also take a side here?
Yes.
So the monocle itself. Mm-hmm.
go on.
Why has it been something that a gentleman wears? Why can't everyone wear a monocle? Why can't a woman wear a monocle? I don't understand that.
I don't have an answer for you. As to the gentle nature of a monocle, I would riddle you this. Imagine engaging in a fist fight wearing a monocle. Do you think that's possible?
Well, wearing any sort of glass on my face before I would got into some fisticuffs, that would be tossed aside immediately.
You know what? Touche. They're purposefully removed. There's a time. I've never been in a fight, but I know how they work.
Yeah, I've seen fights too.
That people remove specific articles of clothing.
The shirt might be first to go.
The shirt. I would take the monocle off before the shirt, personally.
True. Because if you tried to take the shirt, well, maybe if you took the shirt off, it would catch the monocle on the way out. It's like a 2-for-1.
You know what? Okay, I'll go with that.
Yeah. Back to...
All right, so sleep no more. It's the reason that I bring it up is Tacoma and sleep no more share a similarity in that you are presented with a moment, effectively, that is happening in many spaces at once, just as any moment in time may happen. And you have the capability of exploring unique physical spaces within that moment, one at a time. So in Sleep No More, for example, the whole performance happens at once, and then it loops. I think it loops 3 times. And so you can see one performer doing something in a room, and then they might run to another room, and there's another performer there already. And you can wonder, like, what was that performer doing before we arrived? And so you can wait for the performance to loop and go to find that performer who was in that other room and see how they got to that room.
Right.
And then the performer that you were initially following arrives, and you go, okay, so there was, like, something happening here. Tacoma is similar. The crux of Tacoma is you are presented with an AR memory. It takes place on a space station, and you are visiting this space station after whatever has happened, and the AI of the space station has recorded moments in time, and you are presented with those moments as you might be presented with, like, a video clip, and you can play them back, you can pause them, and as they're playing out, you can walk around the space and see what a person in this room might be doing, and then you can pause and rewind and go back at the same time and see what another person in another room might be doing.
Right.
So that's the shape of clarity.
Yeah. I can totally get how that would, playing Tacoma would immediately bring you back to that experience you had. So I'll tell you this. When I got to the first AR area, and I was immediately in this situation where it was live, all of a sudden there was these holographic figures moving around, going about their business from whatever they were doing at that given time. And I immediately, the first feeling I had was slightly overwhelmed, but also, it was not a very positive feeling, because I was like, oh, what the hell is happening? There's all this stuff. But then I realized I had control over it. And I could exist in that moment any part of that time frame. I could pause it, I could go back, I could go forward. So those feelings of the overwhelming sense of urgency that I had to experience all these things at once, it didn't exist anymore. It was gone in a flash, because I realized I had full control over time itself. Right. That is something that you didn't have when you were at this live performance in New York.
That's true.
So did that sense of urgency affect you at all? Did you feel that at all? And did it exist throughout?
Well, yeah. In Sleep No More, you're literally running, like, often. You may be watching a performer in one room. You'll end up in a room. There's a performer there, and they're doing something. And you'll watch them, and then suddenly they might decide, like, their next move is to run to another floor and to see what they're doing. You have to follow them. So you will run to follow them. And the appeal of these things to me is that while everyone else is following them, maybe you want to hang out in the room that they were in and see what was happening in this room, what is in this room that brought them here. Just as in Tacoma, you might see a person in a room, you might hear them talking to themselves or something, and then they might leave the room. And then with whatever they've said or whatever they were doing, you can explore that room and see the traces of them. As these are holographic memories, you can see, like, if they were writing on a piece of paper in the hologram, you can try to find that paper in the trash, for example. So yeah, there was a sense of urgency in Sleep No More that is not present in Tacoma, thankfully. And while it played to the themes of the performance, I'm kind of glad that it's not in this game, because I like the quiet exploration of the moment.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you think that, today what exists is a very clear line of someone who plays video games and skips cutscenes, and someone who plays video games and doesn't skip a single cutscene or plays games specifically for the story. Yes. A game like this, do you think it could satisfy both parties?
No, totally. Like, this game is a series of cutscenes, effectively. And in that way, you're sort of... it's like being injected into a movie and finding meaning that isn't immediately presented to you by the director or the framing. So you actually have to explore the cutscene to find the next thread, or to find a thread that may never be presented to you at all.
Right. And that's a great way of putting it. It totally does feel like it's a cutscene that could be placed in any other game. You're just in that cutscene and have control over it to the point where you can rewind and fast forward through that cutscene. And then also, you know, because it is a third person or first person 3D environment that gives you control to the point where you can, like, pick up things that are floating around you, or pick up things like a cup off a table and throw it on the ground if you want. That in itself, I find, is entertaining enough. For someone like, I think that if you picked up Tacoma, for someone like me who, it's really hard for me to be engaged by a story in a video game. I am open to admit that. I'm not sure why that is. But I could spend, enough time being entertained with just picking up, like a piece of tape, you know, like a tape roll floating around me in space, and then just like manipulating it in the environment, in the physics, that I would feel satisfied from the game. Maybe that's just my ape brain taking over, where I'm like, ooh, like, floaty thing in space, must whack it out of the air, you know? But I do feel like there is a sense of story happening in Tacoma that is engaging, even for me, who finds it difficult to be engaged by a story in a video game.
Okay.
So I definitely feel that, this is an important game for people to pay attention to. And, you know, like, I've only played 25 minutes. I don't know anything hardly about this story. Right. Do you feel, in the amount of time that you've played, that you have a firm, like, understanding of the story and what's happening?
No, not really. I think I've been through three different AR memory sequences in the game, which are where the storytelling takes place. And they're starting to form a through line, but I don't know. It's mostly a through line of who the characters are and what their motivations were. But I'm not exactly sure why my character is there yet, or rather what event led to my character being there to piece it together.
Right.
I'm sure that's coming, but I'm enjoying the voyeuristic nature of the experience a lot already. I think there's something appealing to me. Maybe I'm just a creep, but I like the idea of being able to see everything and see the private moments of the characters, see what led to every interaction. I just find that really appealing because, you know, in social circumstances, it would be really convenient to know those things. You know, it would be great to know what somebody might have experienced before they walked into the same room as you so that you might know how to interact with them, for example.
Yeah. That would be also a devastatingly strong power, I think. I'd be afraid to wield that in real life.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for everybody, but there's something very appealing to me about knowing what you shouldn't
know. Right, exactly. Well, I mean, I've always been attracted to that idea myself, and just as a broad example, something like Skyrim, where it's an enormous world full of NPCs that are kind of touted as having their own individual life where they have chores and they have a job and they have a schedule that they stick to. But because it's such an enormous game with so many things happening at one time, their schedules are extremely basic and most of their NPCs are pretty hollow, you know, with re-scripted lines, a lot of the same attributes, same voice actor. There's not a lot of individuality in a game as broad as that. But I've always been attracted to the idea of, you know, I always, in those type of open world games where you become a character and select a class, I always, always end up choosing the stealthy thief class. It's just like how I sometimes don't even intend to do it. It just happens, right?
Yeah.
And I think that that falls in with that same line of thinking of like being able to be in an area undetected and witness something that maybe is like a private life, maybe, you know, and it sounds super horrible and weird and creepy to say that, but it's just like something that that type of game gives you sort of the ability to do and is attractive enough to want to try it. And I feel like this whole discourse could go into a really weird place. So let's move past that. But
sure.
Yeah, I totally can see how Tacoma is offering that, but in a much more confined, but more detailed scale.
Well, and in another separate angle to this like revisiting of a looping experience is it also reminds me of Westworld and the Man in Black. His quest to discover like the metagame of the game.
Right.
If you're not familiar with Westworld, there is a like a virtual theme park where you're basically living inside of a Skyrim type experience with NPCs and stuff guiding you and giving you quests and stuff like that. And there's a man who has come to this theme park for many years, and he's discovered that there is like a meta game happening that he has to look beyond the presented storylines to find. And I find that sort of thing incredibly appealing. I like the idea of looking beyond what is shown to you to find what is really like, basically like the gears that are turning behind the clock face.
So do you think if the Man in Black, you know, Ed Harris's character existed in the real world and today, do you think his life would just be filled with like going to escape rooms every week? Because that's all he has access to, just like
tearing the scalps off of the presenters.
Exactly. Oh, just God. Like kicking the walls down and attacking his the people he's doing the rooms with.
I do, yeah. I do think that. I think he would be imprisoned.
And then that's sort of the game within a game, it being locked up, you know?
I think he would be a conspiracy theorist, actually.
Oh, yeah. I think he does kind of lend himself to that.
InfoWars, Prison Planet sort of motherfucker.
FEMA death camps?
Yeah, dude, he's onto it. He's trying to find, like, he's reading between the lines.
Yeah, he's in it. I totally get that. Yeah, so Wes, that's an interesting comparison because, you know, I haven't played enough of the game. Do you think there really is like a sort of like a game within a game component here?
I don't know that there's a game within a game necessarily, but there. So in Gone Home, for those who haven't fully experienced it, it's basically about a girl going to her like family home. Everybody's gone, and she's looking around the house to find what happened to her sister. There's something being presented about her sister in notes around the house, and she eventually discovers that her
sister... Spoilers.
Well, I wasn't going to go there.
Oh, okay.
But she eventually discovers something about her sister, and that's basically the whole story of the game, is what happened to my sister. And in Gone Home, there is also a bunch of things about her father and about her father's father, and her father has an older relative who also lived at this house. And her father is a fiction writer who writes books about traveling back in time to stop things from happening, like specifically like the JFK assassination. And you find notes about your father, the main character's father's relationship with this older relative. And ultimately, like, if you look hard enough, this is sort of a spoiler, you find that her father was sexually abused by
this is something you kind of have to figure out, and you could potentially play the game without ever knowing that, right?
You could very easily play the game without ever knowing it. You really have to piece it together. And in fact, the game had been released for a while before, I think it was Austin Walker wrote an article exposing this subplot. And it's difficult to piece together, but it's also extraordinarily satisfying to piece together, because they're all the pieces are there. Like, the father is so fascinated with writing time travel stories. Alternate history stories, because he's so dissatisfied with his own experience.
Right.
And it's really, I love that shit. And I anticipate that there's something similar in Tacoma. And I'm spending the time in the AR experiences exploring every nook and cranny of the moments as they are to find what isn't being presented to me. And so that's where I see similarities with both Sleep No More and Westworld, because all three of these properties, I fucking hate that word, but all three of these experiences,
right,
share a meta that isn't obvious. And I think that's really cool. I like that kind of stuff.
That is really cool. Okay, so there you have it. You got anything else you want to spout off on Tacoma?
No, I still have to play more of the game.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to finishing it, because I think I am interested enough, and through your words, have decided I'm going to finish this game. And we hope
there's lots of tape rolls to bounce into.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go back in, and I know which cup I'm going to pick up, and I know where exactly I'm going to throw it. They have a pool table. It's fully interactable. It's great.
Oh, yeah. I scored several scratches.
I think the first time I hit a ball on that pool table was a scratch, so I don't know. Achievement unlocked, maybe, but
good omen.
Anyway, okay. There's our thoughts about Tacoma. We recommend it. Take heed of what we've said. Spend your time with it. And that's it. Right.
All right. Well, good time. Good talking to you, Julian.
Thank you, Nick.
Bye-bye.
We are recording, by the way.
Oh, fuck. Are we recording this whole time?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, you want to try again?
Sure.